Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us for our last lesson in our series, Renew Your Mind. My name is Dawn Z. Hunt, if you've not met me before, and it's been my joy and honor to teach our series. And we've really had a great time discovering the desires of God to transform us by renewing our mind. And we want to cooperate with that renewing process, and that's really been what our series has been about. Our key scriptures have been in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I'm going to read those in the Amplified Bible. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, your rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Now, I think that we can agree that it'd be very difficult to surrender to God's plan to transform us if we had not made the decision to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, and consecrated, and well-pleasing to Him. I guess we have to ask ourselves this honest question. I mean, how important is it that we allow God to heal us and equip us to become the person that He planned that we would become? Presenting our bodies includes more than just our physical bodies. It includes our spirit, our soul, and our body. Because this is how we present Jesus to the world. We need all of those parts to work together to present who Jesus is to us. And it takes every part of us, all the uniqueness of our individuality, to present Jesus to the world from our perspective and from our temperament. Rather than take time to renew our studies in this lesson, I'm going to just refer you to the church Facebook page or the church website. You can always as well go to YouTube, look under New Hope Christian Center, Dawn Z. Hunt, and I believe you'll probably find some classes there as well. So let's pick up where we left off last week. And we were looking into this transforming that God wanted to accomplish in us. And one of our challenges we discovered is to understand what part of our thinking and behaving is from our spirit and what part is originating from our soul. And this scripture helps us in that dilemma. It says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." In other words, God's word can expose what is on the inside. And that's in Hebrews 4:12. Now, of the many things that we could probably share this evening that would be helpful to us, I really believe understanding how God's word can work in our lives is probably our greatest and most effective tool for this renewing process. In fact, because it is living and active, it is unlike anything else that we could turn to help us. And it's my prayer that we will take to heart what we're going to find in today's lesson and determine to apply the helps that we discover. Now, there's no reason why we have to live with this battle raging between our soul and our spirit. And although God created us to have a body, soul, and spirit, His plan was that after we received Jesus Christ as our Savior and our spirit was made perfect, ready to go, ready for heaven, He wanted to continue the work and complete the transforming of the soul part of us in order for us to be effective as believers and complete the destiny He's planned for us. God has then provided a way for us to be equipped to live in this victory. So let's take advantage of the help that He has offered us. Now, when we abide in God's word, it begins to do both a destructive and a constructive work. Remembering when we discussed the need to examine our thoughts and discovered that not only do we need to demolish the ones that are not lined up with God's word and God's plan, but we also need to replace them with the truth from God's word. And that's why using this tool that God has given us is perfect for the work that the Holy Spirit's doing in us. Because God's word tears down the proud and exalted soul and the negative strongholds, while at the same time, it builds in us positive strongholds of God's word and truth. So it both demolishes and restores. And God's word is amazingly powerful. It's as powerful as He is. Remember that with it, Jesus created everything that exists. And with His word, He holds it all in place. And one day He will destroy all of His enemies with the sword of His mouth. So the most literal rendering that we find in Luke 1:37, you know, that's that scripture that says, nothing will be impossible with God. Well, the most literal rendering of that is, no word spoken by God is without power. Now, let me say that again. No word spoken by God is without power. Now, that's a proclamation that I want to hold on to, because that impacts my life. This amazing word is what He will use to work in us in the restoring of our souls as He renews our mind. Now, God's word in the form that we have used here in Hebrews 4:12 can absolutely obliterate anything in its path. Now, I'm going to say that again as well. God's word can obliterate anything that is in its path. So my question would be, what do you have in your life that you've maybe been wrestling with that needs to be obliterated? It needs to be demolished. It needs to go. Well, we need to courageously hang on and apply God's word to that situation, because it says God's word can obliterate anything in its path. It can literally bring something to ruin. And when it comes to transforming us to be more like Jesus and become His true disciples, that is amazing power that can be used to bring about the change we're believing for. Now, when the writer says that God's word is living, he's using a form of Zoe. Remember the other week we talked about the life of God, that's Zoe. And in other words, this word is alive. It's not just with ordinary life, but is energized with God's life. And so the actual form here is Zoa, which means actively alive. Actively alive. So when we digest God's word, we're receiving His life. Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. John 6:63. So God desires to bring life to your soul through His word. Only his life working in us can really overcome that spiritual death that can at times take up habitation in our soul. Just as food gives you the necessary nutrients for your body to live physically, to live in a healthy fashion, ingesting his word will give you the necessary nutrients to live spiritually. So my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us that life-changing truth. Understand, when we are reading God's word, we are eating, literally eating nutritional truth, nutritional benefits for our spiritual life. Now, this verse also describes God's word as active, which comes from energesi. Notice the word energy there. Now, imagine that God's energy is working in us. I like the sound of that. God's energy working in me. I don't know about you, but man, there are days when I need to have somebody's energy working in me. But I want to have God's energy working in me. Energesi also means to work or toil, operative, effective. So God says then about his word that it's living, it's actively alive, it's filled with his very life and energy, it toils and works, it is operative and effectual. And how exciting that we've been given this amazing tool to help us in this transformation. This is absolutely unbelievable. What is happening when we are taking in God's word? Now God's word is now getting busy. It's actively working. It's toiling. It is operative. It is effectual. It's not just words on a page that we're reading and go, oh, that was nice. I read my chapter tonight. No, not at all. It's doing something in your life and in my life as I take in God's word with my heart and my mind, pursuing the truth of that word and applying it to my own life. I'm letting it change me and transform me. Now, I had a pastor friend who shared this story that may maybe help us a little bit on how this dividing of the soul and spirit can work in our everyday life. And it seems that Joe had an anger problem, and abused as a young boy, he suppressed all these emotions during that time. And when he became a teenager, he began to experience bouts of uncontrollable anger. And he ran his fists through the walls. He was known for fighting over seemingly insignificant offenses. And on one day, he occasionally rammed his car into another car. Joe experienced road rage kind of before we even have that term that we use. But things went from bad to worse. And when he got married, and the first time he grabbed Susan inappropriately, the next time he hit her. And that's how they had ended up in the office of this pastor. Susan didn't want to leave him, but she was understandably afraid to live with him. So Joe didn't know really what to do. He didn't want to have these fits of rage. He just seemed to lose control, as he put it. By now, he really had little hope of ever overcoming his anger. So the pastor talked with Joe about his feelings, and he led him in prayers of forgiveness for his childhood abuser. And they looked at patterns. They looked at trigger points until he could recognize the warning signs and then get away from the area, off to himself. So they helped. Those things did help. But the real breakthrough came as Joe began to attack his problem with God's word. They found passages on self-control, on anger, on peace, and other related subjects. Joe began the abiding process, spending time each day thinking on and speaking God's promises over his life. And the living word then began to work in his soul. He began to notice a difference after a few days. And that really served to encourage him even more. So tenaciously, Joe attacked his problems with the word of God. Now, the entire process took a couple of months. But finally, the life of God's word completely swallowed up the stronghold in Joe's soul. And he and Susan are still happily married today. In fact, Joe is more like a kind of a big teddy bear in his temperament. His gentle spirit and kind ways are a tribute to the power and the energy of God's awesome word that changed his life. God's energy operating in us. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 in the Amplified Bible says, "And we also especially." Thank God continually for this, that when you received the message of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is effectually at work in you, who believe, exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust in and rely on it. There you have it. Superhuman power. That's what we need. So in other words, results happen when we engage the Word of God. It's more than words on a page, as I said. It's full of life. It's full of power to bring about the change needed in our lives. Now, if we'll discipline ourselves, that is, to study it, that's the hard part, to meditate on it, to pray over it, to apply it to our life, and can I just say, to make it a priority. You see, no one could do that for you. No one could do that for me. I mean, it's like going to the doctor. He gives you treatment. He gives you medication, but you go home and you don't change. You don't take the medication. You don't apply his advice. It's like a believer being a believer, trying to live the life without taking in God's word. It just does not work. Particularly when we find out how absolutely powerful his word is. Philippians 2:12-13. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, with self-distrust, with serious caution, with tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Verse 13, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while, I like that, all the while, effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Wowie, I love that scripture. God's working all the while. We're not doing this in our own strength. It's God working in us all the while, effectually at work in us, energizing, creating in us power and desire to will and to do. Now, it says in one of these phrases, we're fully completing our own salvation. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about this transformation of our soul. It's really the completing of our salvation. To understand these verses correctly, let's put them in a little different order. The first thing we need to know is that God is working in us. He is actively operating in us. He's releasing his divine life and energy. And we already know this has happened in our spirit. And now he wants to do the same in our soul. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure, the scripture says. Now, when the scripture states that God is giving us the will to do his good pleasure, this word means the will to press on into action. It's more than just a want to. It is a motivation that moves us from the want to the action of what needs to happen. He's literally transforming our will into one that has both desire and action. God's energy is active. It is not passive. He's working in us both to will, to desire, and to work, to take action. Now, Israel lived under the yoke of the law, and we now live under the yoke of grace. We're not just told to do something. We're also given the grace and the power to do it. And as we see here, even when we're oppressed or stuck and are having issues with this old nature that we fight against, God is already at work freeing us from that. Now, unfortunately, many of us still really don't understand God's grace. We fall into our own thoughts and plans, trying to correct the situation, relying on our own strength. And Donzie right here sometimes can fall into that area. I need to be very careful because my mind's always busy and I always have a plan. Now, unfortunately, for me, sometimes it might not be God's plan. So relying on your own strength. And this, of course, puts us on the path of spiritual growth that depends on our works, trying to save ourselves. But we can never become who we were intended and are intended to be in our own strength. I mean, when you think of it honestly, it's laughable. I mean, if that were the case, we would have never needed salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Still, we keep trying. And as a result, we never enter into the joy and the rest of placing this yoke that Jesus has planned for us. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're still living with an Old Testament mindset. Do this, don't do that, be this way, be that way. And if we're honest, we can see that we can become like those self-flogging monks of the Dark Ages. Remember, they'd have a little handle and some, I don't know if they were leather pieces or whatever, and they would beat their self, beat their body, beat over the back of their shoulders, and they would be a bloody mess as they are probably name-calling themselves, you nasty, ugly Christian, what's the matter with you? Why can't you be more like Jesus? Now, that's not God's plan for us, clearly. Clearly not God's plan. But that's where self-effort will get you. I came across this little piece of literature, and honestly, there was no name. I don't know who to even give credit for it. But if God were to appear to us and give us a little message letting us know where we had gotten it wrong, perhaps he would say something like this. Only my energeo, that meaning energy, of course, only my energeo can transform you. No other energy can do it. I'm trying to change you from the inside out. I've already made you who you're supposed to be. I gave you my DNA that is inside of you, placed my very seed in you. You just didn't get adopted into my family. You were born into my family. You have my nature. Quit trying to fly as a caterpillar. You can't do that. I didn't put wings on a caterpillar. I made him to transform into a butterfly with glorious wings, just as I've made you, with liberation already in mind. If you'll work the process, I will start releasing in you my energy that gives you my entirely new kind of willpower. You won't keep hitting the wall of failure. You'll find yourself committed to action. I'll give you the will to act. And when you act, I'll give you the energy to do it. To will and to do. Unquote. So when Paul says that we're going to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, it does not mean we're supposed to will and do by our own effort. God's not saying, hey, you're on your own and do it with fear and trembling because, hey, I'm a mean God. I'm a hard God. I'm a taskmaster. No, that's not at all what that means there. And in the original language, this instruction means that we are to distribute the work. Whose work? Well, that's an easy answer, since God has said that he's the one toiling in us. And since he's the one at work in us, we are simply to be the distributors of that work. He has already placed salvation in us, and so we can distribute that salvation out of us. And he's doing it on the inside, so we can show it to the outside. His work is allowing us to become who we are intended to be. And God is doing this by the power of his word. His word is living and active, quick and powerful, as the King James Version says. And I really like that part, the quick and powerful part, because I tend to be impatient. So if I can envision his word working in me quickly, well, I like that. God's word analyzes our motives, our priorities, our thoughts. It divides the soul, and that's what we're after. It divides the soul, reaching into its deepest parts. The word for this is piercing. The original scripture that I read talks about the word piercing, to reach through and to penetrate. It means to arrive and to become competent, ample, to attain the desired end, to be sufficient, adequate, and enough. So if we were to take all of the original Greek words in this verse, in Hebrews 4:12 that we've been looking at, and use these definitions, we would have this understanding. The Logos of God, or the Word of God, the Logos of God is alive, actively alive. It's filled with the life and the energy of God. It toils and works in us. It is operative and effectual. It is also fully competent, adequate, sufficient, and ample. It has enough ability to channel itself through the various areas of the soul and spirit, reaching its goal and attaining its desired end. It will arrive and will accomplish its goal when it gets there. Now, I love that, right? And we can be assured that it will accomplish its goal once it reaches its destination. So listen to this scripture in Isaiah also, Isaiah 55:11. It says, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. I mean, what kind of awesome scripture is that? Let's read that again. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. And that is great news, because we know that God sent his word to our soul. There's a little illustration that I read, a story from Henry Ford's life and Charlie Steinmetz. Steinmetz was a very small man. In fact, actually, he was a dwarf. And in fact, you know, kind of a peculiar looking guy. But yet he had one of the greatest minds in the field of electricity that the world has ever known. Steinmetz built the great generators for Ford in his first plant in Dearborn, Michigan. And one day those generators broke down and the plant came to a halt. They brought in ordinary mechanics and helpers who couldn't get the generators going again, and they were losing money. Then Ford called Steinmetz, and the genius came. He seemed to just kind of putter around for a few hours and then flipped the switch, and that put the great Ford plant back into operation. And a few days later, Henry Ford received a bill from Steinmetz for $10,000. And although Ford was a very rich man, he returned the bill with a note. "Charlie, isn't this bill just a little high for a few hours of tinkering around on those motors?" Well, Steinmetz returned the bill to Ford, and this time it read, "For tinkering around on the motors, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. Henry Ford paid the bill. Oh, wow. God's word knows how to tinker with the problem. God's word knows how to discover the problem we're wrestling with, and it will go to the neediest area of our soul and release its mighty transforming power. Strongholds, along with the incorrect thinking and behaving that the soul produces, will have to surrender to the transforming power of God. Now, as believers, sometimes we're motivated by our spirit, other times perhaps by our soul. Sometimes we're spirit-controlled believers, other times we're soul-controlled believers. And God's word comes to divide the two, to make it clear what's spirit and what is soul. And God's word is kind of like the surgeon's scalpel that skillfully exposes and cuts away unbiblical thoughts and attitudes. It draws a line in the sand and with great precision says, this thought, this action is soul. Now this action is spirit. And once God has been allowed to shine his spotlight to our soul, you'll much more be able to recognize the soul's influence, not only in your life, but in the lives of other people as well. Now, in the Greek translation of our scripture, we're told that not only does it bring division between what is soul and what is spirit, but it apportions it as well, which simply means it produces spiritual nutrients, like we've talked about, that we need in order to mature, to overcome, and to walk in victory. So praise God for that provision. Now, in closing, I want to just conclude with the story of a man who struggled with strongholds in his life. And as a child, he struggled with insecurity and fear of rejection. He grew up believing that he was ugly, and this kind of shaped his belief system. Planted deep in his subconscious, this belief gradually came to control all of his interactions with others. Up until the eighth grade, he was quiet and shy, and though not disliked, he certainly was not popular. Then his family moved to a new school district, and though he did not really know how or why, he began to come out of his shell. And overnight, he went from being an introvert to an extrovert. And he learned how to relate to others to become popular. And he ran with the in crowd. And simultaneously, he became a good athlete, and that further augmented his ability to be accepted. And because of this change, he firmly believed that he no longer suffered from insecurity and the fear of rejection. But while he was studying for the ministry at Christ for the Nations, God began to deal with him about these issues. And he kept hearing God challenge him to look inward, to acknowledge these issues in his soul, and allow God to heal him. Well, at first he resisted and adamantly declared his freedom. But the prodding finally became irresistible. And at this point, he heard the Lord clearly say to him, "You are controlled by insecurity and the fear of rejection, and they influence every relationship you have and color every aspect of your personality. You manipulate and control. You put up walls to guard areas of your heart. And all your conversations are subconsciously controlled by your need for acceptance. You don't truly listen in order to know and understand the heart of another person. Instead, you're thinking about how you can respond to make yourself look smart, interesting, funny, caring, whatever is needed to make you look good." I mean, this man shared that it wasn't an audible voice he heard from God, because God spoke to him like he does most of us, through strong impressions that sometimes can even seem like our own thoughts. He said, "I didn't like it. I didn't agree with it. And I told God so." But God and his word were relentless, penetrating, dividing, and conquering. His impressions were too strong and persistent. He said, "I couldn't get away from them. So I began pondering what I was hearing. Then a strange and unnerving thing began to occur." He said, "I would be conversing with a group of people, trying to sound intelligent, funny, cool, all the things I did in my attempts to be popular and accepted, when I would hear that small little inner voice say, 'There, you're doing it right now.'" He said, "Talk about a bummer of a distraction." He said, "Then I begin to see that I really was being controlled in my relationships by an inappropriate need for acceptance, not a genuineness that could flow out of a healthy sense of self-worth." And he says, "I wasn't really interested in what the other person was saying. I just wanted to sound good." But that wasn't all. He says, "I finally was able to see that in all my relationships, I had to be in control." He said, "It was devastating. I felt embarrassment, condemnation, and a host of other unpleasant emotions." He said, "It seemed I no longer really even knew who I was." And he said he began to talk to the Lord about these feelings, pouring out his shame and confusion. And then, he said, "I heard him speak again. 'I'm not angry with you, son. It's not your fault that you have these issues. You don't even know how they were formed in you. I do. I'm not disappointed in you, and I don't want you to be embarrassed. I just want to heal you.'" So he goes on and shares. He says, "I never heard God speak to me like that before." He said, "My fear of him began to leave, all the shame lifted, and I just felt loved." God continued speaking, "If you don't allow me to heal this area of your soul, much of what you do in life will be for you. To try to meet your need for acceptance and feel good about yourself. So let me go to work on this." So he said yes, and God went to work through his word. He said somehow he instinctively knew that the answer was there. He didn't know one Greek word from another in Hebrews 4:12. But somehow he knew the answer to his freedom was through God's word. And he searched the scriptures and found verses pertaining to his situation. including references concerning God as his father, acceptance, God's love for him, freedom from fear, and so on. And while he dove into the word, he said another thing began to happen. He shared that he started craving the word. The more he read, the more he needed it. And it seemed like a strange analogy, but when he says our body needs protein, it will do us no good to eat starches or carbohydrates. We have to eat food high in protein. And if we're deficient in potassium, we don't take vitamin C to meet our need. In one form or another, we try to ingest potassium. And somehow our intricately made body knows the difference and sends the nutrients we need to the right place. And he says, so it was with God's word in my life. It was God's food for my soul. And when we need security, we must find a portion of God's word that applies and eat it. Eat it. When we need self-control or discipline, we have to find verses that apply to these needs and eat them. Let them change us. When we do this, God's word will feed our soul and the nutrients it needs. And he said, that is exactly what I begin doing over and over again. He took verses pertaining to his situation. He began to meditate on them. He memorized them. He spoke them out loud to himself. He thought about them over and over and over and many times throughout the day. And he did this diligently for days. And the word began to work. The scripture and the spoken word gradually became understood as the Holy Spirit lifted the veil from his soul and brought revelation to him. The word became active in him, releasing power and life. The promises penetrated, found his areas of weakness and injury, and divided and conquered. He didn't heal himself. All he did was eat, abide, dwell in, remain in God's word until it saved his soul. Now, he said that that was what brought the freedom. He shared that the process probably took a month or so. And he truly was free from the stronghold in his soul. He said the life in his spirit was finally free to manifest itself through a soul at rest, set free by the truth of God's word. And in that area of his life, he had become who he was called to be. He shared that as the healing came, his entire personality began to change. He became a little quieter, more of a thinker and a listener. His motives changed, and he began to relate to people for the right reasons. His desire for success and accomplishment changed, and they were now to the glory of God, not to meet an inappropriate need in him. Performance was replaced with obedience. Unquote. So we say praise God for the victory. And I trust that this testimony has been an encouragement to you. We really need to have an understanding of what God's word can do to change us. I believe we have underestimated the powerful tool that we've always had right at our fingertips. And I've had to ask God for forgiveness for my independent willfulness, trying to live my life at times without seeking his direction, even in the little things. I need to take the directions for my life from the spirit part of my nature, allowing the spirit to control my soul and my body. The scriptures tell us in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, there's an if here. If you remain in me, we're attached to the vine. if you remain, if you stay there. You will, there's no question, you will bear much fruit. And then here's the shattering statement. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So our to-do list of all the good things we want to do that we've made up our mind we think we're going to be involved in, but we've given no thought to whether or not, even if they're good things, is God directing us to do those? Is God saying, hey, this is where I want you to put your energy and your time and your money? No, apart from me, that simply means without considering me, without listening to my direction regarding your life, you can do nothing. Nothing that's effective. So let's do our part to cooperate with God and allow him to transform us. As always, God does the hard part, the supernatural part, and we obey and surrender to his direction, which then produces his life in us. I mean, I've had conversations with people who've tried to tell me, they say, well, I tried this Christian thing and it just really didn't work for me. And I can say with confidence, well, then you really didn't try, because God never fails. And his words, every one of them are true and will never fail us. So let's make whatever sacrifice we need to make. Spend time in God's word, learning what it says about our particular struggle, and then obeying and applying those truths to our lives. And if we do this, we will begin to notice that our thoughts and our behaviors are changing. Our desires will become different than they used to be as well. I promise you that we will see changes that we have never seen in our life. Our relationship with God will thrive, and we will be able to begin to know our God and daily enjoy his presence in our life. That's the future we can have. That's the future I want. That's the future I see. And that's the future I'm going to have, because God says I can have it. So I just thank you all for joining our study. I pray for all of you, even if I can't see you. I know that you're out there, and God knows who you are, and he sees you. So these days that we're living in are very challenging, and yet they're exciting at the same time. And God has planned for you and I to live in this time in history. We're called for such a time as this. So we're not here by accident. And he's assigned an area for each one of us to be involved in. And I plan to listen very carefully to what he's saying and not miss his direction in my life. I know you feel the same way. So let's seek God for his will and purpose in our life and commit ourselves to pray and believe for our brothers and sisters that are working with us in these last days. Let's look forward to the harvest that we know is coming, and we want to be ready to take care of that harvest, to encourage people, to love people, and to disciple people. That's what we're to do. So bless you all, and let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you. Wow, you are an amazing God. You are an amazing God. We pray that we will not allow the wear and tear of the voices of our soul, the negativity, the whining, the despair, the discouragement to dominate, but we will allow you to transform that soul by the renewing of our mind, the mind of hope, the mind of faith, the mind of Christ. The mind that loves, the mind that wants to be involved in the kingdom of God and everything you are wanting to accomplish in these days. We thank you, God, that anything that we're lacking, we can go to you and you will supply that for us. Help us not to become discouraged when we see things in our life that are not as they should be, and we're struggling because we know that we're not at our best. Help us just to continue to go to you and by faith to apply what we know and to believe in this supernatural word to heal us, to restore us, and to energize us by the Spirit. We pray that we will listen to your word and the messages that it is giving to us to become who you have fully intended and designed for us to be. And so we praise you now. We give you glory. We thank you. Thank you for who you are. We thank you for your provision. Most of all, we thank you for salvation. And we pray in Jesus' name that you will just equip us as these days move forward now, in your precious name, amen. Thank you all, and we will be doing a study in the future. We'll be advertising that. I don't know exactly when it'll start, but we'll be on deck coming up in the future. Thank you so much.